The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Well, good morning and welcome to Sunday morning worship here at St. Paul's in Mulgay. Fergus, our minister, isn't with us this morning, but you've got the bonus of having myself and David instead. And for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Lindsay Brennan and I'm a probationary minister serving here at St. Paul's and also in Balderneck. So we welcome anyone that's visiting with us this morning. And if you can stay on afterwards for tea and coffee in the hall, then that would be lovely. And we say a special welcome back to Bob Harvey, our organist. Come and worship. Be still and aware of God's presence within and around you. Come and worship. Be still and aware of Jesus' presence within and around you. Come and worship. Be still and aware of the Spirit's presence within and around you. Be still and know the presence of the Triune God, the Father to whom we come, the Son through whom we come, the Spirit by whom we come. Hear his word. Be still and know that I am God. Let's come and sing our first hymn of this morning, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Let's come together as a church family to approach God in prayer. Let us pray. Generous God and giver of all things, we rest in your loving and tender care, and we are revived, restored, and renewed by your strength and encouragement. So we will pause and take a moment to be still for the power of the Lord that is moving in this place. Lord, you go before us in life, leading us in pathways that are secure without the confusion of becoming lost. You come to cleanse and to heal and to minister your grace. So, Lord, we come before you in the stillness. As human beings, we know there will be times of stress when our body or mind let us down. We know there will be dark times too when life seems to be nothing but struggle. And it is in those times especially that we rely on your presence deep within us to guide and comfort us. Grace-giving God, you provide us with the tools we need for the tasks we face. And for this, we give you our trust and thanks. But forgive us now for the times when we have disappointed ourselves and denied your glory. When we have relied on our own tools and strengths rather than being fed on your word and your immeasurable love for us. When we have ignored the opportunities that you have given us to stand on holy ground and to be in communion with you through prayer. Life-giving God, you put out the welcome mat for us as we gather to worship you today. You nourish our souls and bodies through your goodness and tender mercies. You heal our life's wounds and your generous love fills us to overflowing. You have promised that your unfailing love will stay with us, and for this we give you our thanks. And we come now to worship you, to praise you and to thank you. And as our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to see some of the boys and girls back from their summer holidays. Have you all been away somewhere nice? Where have you been, Emily?
Aviemore.
Where have you been, McKenna?
America.
You've been to America. Did you go and see Mummy's family? Oh, how exciting. And has everyone else been away as well? Well, it's good to have the children back with us. So, what you've missed since you've been away is the congregation, the adults, have been thinking about what prayer is. And we've been thinking a lot about prayer. And we've been reading some of the prayers that the Apostle Paul wrote to some of the churches that he set up. And his prayers are amazing. They can teach us a lot about what prayer is. But I'm keen to hear what you think about prayer today. So I'm looking for two willing volunteers, someone that wouldn't mind coming up the front and speaking into a microphone. Samuel, you want to come? And, well, Emily and McKenna, why not both come? Come up. That'll be good. And Kieran, are you going to come with a microphone? Excellent. I'm going to put this down. Right, we've got our sound man. Excellent. Excellent. We're going to stand up there so everyone can see you. There we are. So, first of all, first question, Samuel. What is prayer?
It's basically talking to God, and he doesn't mind what you say, and he knows all the time what you mean to say, but the main things you pray for yourself sometimes, for other people, for something, or maybe someone that's weaker than you, or maybe a place.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you, Sammy. What a great answer. And McKenna, why do we pray?
To help something that you do wrong and you say to God to apologise for it.
Oh, what a wonderful answer. And Emily, can you pray when you're happy?
Yes.
Can you pray when you're sad?
Yes.
Can you pray when you're lonely?
Yes.
Fantastic. A wee round of applause now. You would think I'd ask these children the question beforehand, and I didn't. So I just think that's all credit to the kids and what they're learning in their Sunday club. Now, sometimes when I'm praying, I don't know if this happens to you, but sometimes when I'm praying, I can forget what I should be praying for. Does that sometimes happen to you? Sometimes? Does it happen to anybody else? Does anyone else have that problem that sometimes you're praying and you just don't know what you should be praying for? Well, do you want to stand up, sit down here so I can face the front? So I've got a technique that I use, and I've taught some children this before, and if you forget what you should be praying for, you can use your hands, and that can give you a reminder. So sometimes when you're praying, you put your hands together like this, don't you? You see people doing that when they're praying. Sometimes they put their hands together like that. Well, what's the first finger here? What's this called? What is it? Your thumb. It's your thumb, and it's the one closest to you. So when you're putting your hands together like this, and you see your thumb, that's closest to you. That's to remind you to pray for the people that are close to your own heart. So praying for your mums and your dads and your grannies and your grandpas and your aunts and your uncles and your sisters and your brothers. So praying to people that are close to your own heart. Now the next finger is your pointing finger. And that's to remind you to pray to people that point you in the right direction. So people that point you in the right direction are your teachers, your maybe Sunday club leaders. Who else points you in the right direction? Yes?
Me.
You point yourself in the right direction? Okay.
My mum.
Your mum, yes. And I was also thinking about Jesus, because we can learn a lot about from Jesus. And Jesus teaches us the right way to live, doesn't he? So, you pray for the people closest to you, that's your thumb. Your pointing finger reminds you to pray to people that point you in the right direction. Now the next finger, can you see that one's the biggest finger? That's the tallest finger. So that reminds you to pray for people that are in positions of leadership. So to pray for your head teachers or people that lead the Sunday school or people in the government. So people that have positions of authority, praying for them. That's the big tall finger. What's the next finger called? I've got giving you an example, a clue. Your ring finger. So do you know, do you play the piano, don't you? Is it true that your ring finger is your weakest finger when you're playing the piano? Is that right? And someone told me that. So that's to remind you to pray for people that are weaker than you. So people that you know that are sick and unwell and that might be in need of your prayers. So that's a reminder to pray for people in need of prayer. And your final finger is your, what do you call that one?
Pinky.
Pinky. And that's to remind you to pray for little you. And it's okay to ask God for prayers for yourself. Because God wants to hear from you no matter what you are feeling. Whether you're happy, whether you're sad, whether you're confused, whether you're lonely, upset. God wants to hear from you. You got something else to share, Emily?
The pinky is also for doing pinky promises.
Oh, the pinky is also for pinky promises. Okay, that's a really good point. So if you forget what you're praying for, you can remember the five-finger prayer point. All right? So you pray for people closest to you, people that point you in the right direction, people that are leaders, people that are weaker than you or unwell, and praying for yourself. Well, thank you for your help. I think your answers, Samuel, McKenna and Emily, were the best answers. So well done. Do you want to go back to where you were sitting? No, actually don't, because I want you out. Actually, stay here. Don't move. Now, hopefully I have Andrew. Is Andrew with us? Oh, here he is. Andrew's going to lead us in prayer. I think you can reach the mic okay, can't you?
Yeah.
Let us pray.
Dear God, we thank you for prayer and we thank you that we can talk to you anytime, day or night. We thank you that you want to know each and every one of us, no matter how we are feeling, happy or sad. Help us to remember this five-finger prayer, to remember those who need our prayers. Our family members, friends, teachers, leaders, and those who are sick, sad or lonely. Help us also to pray for ourselves, so you are a guide to our feet, and so that your love grows in our hearts. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Thank you, Andrew. Now, coming up, we have our holiday club. Who knows we're having a holiday club in church? Yes! So, we've been learning lots of songs that we're going to be singing at our holiday club. And for those of you who don't know, we're having a holiday club from the 6th to the 10th of August. And it's going to be a really fun week where all the local children are going to come and join us for the whole week. And we're going to be singing lots of new songs with them. But they're not maybe new to us. And one of the songs we're going to be teaching the children that come to our holiday club is Our God is a Great Big God. Now, who knows that song?
Me.
Yay, me too. Do you want to come out the front and stand on the stage and do the actions with me? Who else wants to come up and do the actions? Do you want to have a go, girls, even if you're visiting? It's quite easy. Do you want to come up? No? Samuel, do you want to come up? No? Right. Well, I have to say, I introduced this hymn to Bulldurnock, your sister church, up the road just 2 weeks ago. And I was basically telling them about the holiday club and was saying, oh, this is one of the hymns that we're going to, the children's hymns we're going to be singing, and it's really a lot of fun. And I just expected them to sing it, but do you know what? 100% did the actions as well. So I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there. Not one person let me down. Everybody did the actions. So we're going to sing Our God is a Great Big God. Before we come to listen to God's word this morning, we're going to sing our prayer of understanding, which is, open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. And we sing this hymn sitting down. Our first Bible reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to be reading chapter 3, looking at verses 14 through to 21, and that can be found on page 1175 of the Pew Bible. That's Ephesians chapter 3, looking at verses 14 through to 21. A prayer from the Apostle Paul for the Ephesians. For this reason I kneel before the Father, for whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Our second reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke, and we're looking at chapter 10. Verses 38 to 42, and then reading on to chapter 11, verses 1 through to 4. And this can be found on page 1042 of the Pew Bible. So Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. At the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Jesus is teaching on prayer. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Amen, and may God bless to us these readings from his holy word. We'll respond to God's word by singing our next hymn, which is hymn 541, "Lord, I Pray." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to share with you a true story that I read just recently. A husband and wife were driving along a road and happened to notice a late model Cadillac with its hood up parked at the side of the road. Its driver appeared somewhat perplexed and quite agitated. So the husband and wife pulled over and to see if they could offer any assistance. The stranded driver hastily and somewhat sheepishly explained that he had known when he left the house that he was rather low in fuel, but he had been in such a great hurry to get to an important business meeting, so he had not taken time to fill up his tank. The Cadillac needed nothing more than refueling. The husband and wife happened to have a spare gallon of fuel with them, so they emptied it into the thirsty Cadillac and then told the driver of a service station that was just a few miles up the road. Thanking them profusely, he sped off. 12 miles or so later, they saw the same car, hood up, stranded at the side of the road. The same driver, no less bemused than the first time and even more agitated, was pathetically grateful when they pulled over again. You guessed that he was in such a hurry for his business meeting that he had decided to skip the service station and press on in the dim hope that the gallon he had received would take him to his destination. Well, Don Carson, who writes this story, writes this: "It's hard to believe that anyone would be so stupid until we remember that this is exactly how many of us go about the business of Christian living. We are so busy pressing on to the next item on the agenda that we choose not to pause for fuel." And this story really resonated with me because it reminded me of a time in my own life when this same thing happened to me. So I was training to become a minister. I was in my first year of my theology course, studying at Highland Theological College. I was up to my eyes in essays. I had 6 essay deadlines, 2 exams to prepare for, and a church placement, as well as looking after my boys. And one of our university lecturers suggested that we might want to take time out of our busy schedule to actually practice one of the Christian spiritual disciplines, such as prayer or solitude or study. Well, my reaction was my wake-up call. My instant reaction was, "What? Do you think I've got time for that? I've got 6 essays to write, 2 exams to prepare for, and a church placement. I haven't got time to take time out for that." And then I heard what I was saying to myself. I didn't have time for God. And it was in that moment I realised how far I had travelled from God in my own devotional life, in my study of the Bible and in prayer. We don't stop to pray. Our lives are too hurried and we never seem to find that alone time with God. I'm too busy to pray. We live in a time when people are juggling many jobs and activities, and we live in quite a frenetic age. We rush and we perform and we accomplish, we strive and we do. We are not living in a contemplative age. And when we stop rushing and when we stop performing and doing, many of us just relax and sit in front of our screens to unwind. And the result is that we never take that time out to meditate, to wonder, to process. We never take that time out to encounter God. So how can we grow in our likeness of Christ if we aren't spending time in the presence of the Holy One who wants the best for us? How can we hear his quiet, still voice speaking to us if we never pause to listen? The well-known story of Mary and Martha must surely tell us something of Jesus' perception of our busyness. Martha was so sure her choices and activities was the right thing, and she was really annoyed when her sister Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. Martha was too busy to take time out to enjoy her friendship with Jesus when he came into her home. Nicky Gumbel, the founder of Alpha, writes that not spending time with Jesus is the biggest mistake you can make in your spiritual life. No one on his or her deathbed ever said, "I wish I'd spent more time at the office." Many regret not spending time with the most important relationships. And it's probably no accident that the next story that Luke tells is about Jesus' teaching his disciples how to pray. We see Jesus himself modelling the importance of spending time with God in prayer. But coming back to Martha, as a doer myself, I've always felt quite sorry for Martha, because here she was, the one making sure that the guests were well fed and weren't left hungry or thirsty. And you can totally understand her exasperation when she says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And it makes me laugh in a way, because it reminds me of the time when I grew up with my two sisters, and I would always be complaining to my dad, "Tell Ruth to help us do the dishes. She's just sitting back and not doing anything." So you could understand Martha's annoyance. But what Martha was doing wasn't wrong, because she was serving. And service is important in our Christian life, and we're called to serve others. So what she was doing wasn't wrong, but she was serving with the wrong heart and the wrong attitude. And we can all relate to Martha's busyness. We cram more in, we start work early, we work later, we take work home. We sometimes answer our emails on our smartphones, and we say yes when in our hearts we know we should be saying no. And there never seems to be any time, any downtime. And you don't need to be at work to feel overcommitted. Parents with small children will know what it means to be on the go all the time. Almost every minute of every day is consumed by the needs and demands of children. And I've heard retired people say often that they don't know how they previously fitted in their job. Time is now spent caring for grandchildren, helping elderly sick friends, and carrying out many tasks on church rotas, and add in community engagements, and there's no time in the day. But where does that still small voice of God fit into our hectic lives? When and where do we find time to sit and be still in the presence of Jesus? Time that we know nourishes our inner being. A book I've read and reread now several times is called Too Busy Not to Pray, Slowing Down to Be with God. So Too Busy Not to Pray, Slowing Down to Be with God. And Bill Hybels, who wrote this book, suggests that the mark of an authentic Christian is one who spends quality time with God in prayer. He writes this: "Authentic Christianity is a walk, a supernatural walk with a living, dynamic, and communicating God. Thus, the heart and soul of the Christian life is learning to hear God's voice and developing the courage to do what he tells you. Bill Hybels suggests that few Christians ever reach this level of authenticity because most Christians are just too busy, getting caught up often in society's agenda, objectives and activities, in the neglect of walking with God. He finishes by saying, authentic Christianity emanates from the unhurried, silent communicating of God's Spirit with ours. You can't become an authentic Christian on a diet of constant activity, even when this activity is all church related. So what does Jesus think about our busyness? Well, let's listen now to Jesus' response to Martha after she complained to him that Mary had left her with all the work. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus wanted Martha to spend time with him, and he wants the same for us. He says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Strength and direction comes from time spent in prayer with Jesus. Bill Hybels writes, if you're too busy to pray, you are simply too busy and something needs to go. He suggests looking at your daily schedule and asking God in prayer what needs to go so you can spend more quality time with Jesus. And we know that when we're in a relationship with a person, then time with them matters. So why not schedule time with God? And if you find it difficult to pray alone, then why not ask a friend to pray with you? I know many people are in prayer triplets. Or why not come along to our own prayer and praise night on a Thursday night at 8 o'clock and be uplifted by God's Spirit? Something that's helped me when I was a new Christian 11 years ago and had started praying for the first time, I would pray and then I would realise my mind was wandering on to everything other than what I was supposed to be doing. So I keep a simple prayer journal, writing down my prayers. This is something that could help other people too. But Jesus wants the best for you. He wants to know your thoughts, your heart's desires, and he wants to guide you in paths, the path on the right way of living. He wants to be in a relationship with you, but he can't do that if you aren't spending any time with him in prayer. Over the last couple of weeks, we have looked at some of the Apostle Paul's prayers that he wrote to the churches in Philippi, Ephesus, and Thessalonica. And they have encouraged us to think about our own prayer life. And Paul's prayers were always passionate and full of compassion for others. And he wanted those people that he loved to grow in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he knew the Lord Jesus Christ for himself. And he knew that that relationship was life transforming. In Paul's prayer to the church in Ephesus today, we can hear Paul's passion for Jesus. And this prayer really draws us in and invites us to pray this same prayer for our own lives and the lives of those people that we love. So we're going to do that now together. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you may strengthen us with power through your Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in all our hearts through faith. And we pray that as we are being rooted and established in love, we may have power together with all the church to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Lord, we know that we can do immeasurably more things than we can ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within us. So help us to take time out to pray, so we can grow in our faith, in our love of you and our love for others. To God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We'll respond now to God's word to us by singing our next hymn, Knowing You, Jesus, There Is No Greatest Thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy and righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, there are times when we pray but the words just won't come. And times when we simply don't know what to pray for. There are times too when we forget to pray, or when our prayers are casual and half-hearted, squeezed in as an afterthought at the end of the day. We thank you then that we are not alone in prayer, and that your response does not depend solely on our own efforts. We thank you for the work of the Spirit within, articulating our deepest thoughts and needs. And we praise you for the faithfulness of Christ, constantly interceding on our behalf. Living God, everything we have and are is a gift from you. We have earned nothing from which you did not give us the skills. We achieve nothing from which you did not give us the time and the energy. We possess nothing for which we do not owe you grateful thanks and praise. Lord, the gifts we now bring can only be offered because you have given, and we want to give thanks. Please use these gifts for your kingdom purposes. Living God, hear now our prayers for others and our world. We pray for people affected by the wildfires in Greece and California and throughout the world. We pray for those that have lost loved ones in such tragic circumstances, and for homes and livelihoods lost. Lord, comfort the afflicted with your peace and presence, and bring aid to where it is needed. We also pray for those negatively affected by the heat wave and the effects of global warming. Lord, many in this country have welcomed the warm weather and holiday period, but we know that the heat wave has caused problems for those involved in farming and agriculture. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, we pray for peace in the Middle East and where war and violence dominate. We pray for all those affected by the Syrian attacks this week, where 215 people lost their lives due to Islamic attack. We pray for those that are frightened and who live with constant fear and terror. We pray too for the families that have been affected by car crashes. We pray for the family in Moree, where several people were killed. Lord, send your comforting presence. And Lord, we pray for those close to our own hearts that are in trouble, unwell, or who are facing uncertain times. Hold these people close to your heart and let them experience your grace and your peace. Living God, give us today the faith we need to pray, and teach us to pray to you in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we come to sing our final hymn of this morning, I just have a couple of news and notices. After the service today, we're going to have a drama club rehearsal for everyone involved in the SU Holiday Club drama. And there'll be a pizza lunch afterwards as well. So that's happening around 11:30, if you can stay on for that, if you're an actor. I also want to thank the craft team that got together to start pre-assembling the crafts for the holiday drama. The holiday club. I unfortunately couldn't come out to help you because I was unwell, so thank you so much for going ahead and doing that anyway. The next meeting will be this Wednesday coming, when we'll finish off pre-assembling the crafts for the holiday club. So back in the centenary room on Wednesday at 7:30 again. Next week, if you're involved in the holiday club at any level, there's going to just be a brief meeting after the church service, where we'll just run through the holiday club week and maybe learn some of the songs together. But I hope not to keep you too long. Also, I'd like to say no more rubbish. We've collected lots of rubbish. We've got all the rubbish that we need for the Waste Watchers Holiday Club. And we've got a big surplus too. So thank you to the Adairs that are dealing with the surplus. That's really helpful. And just to let you know, registration is still open for any grandchildren or visiting children over the summer that might want to come along. They can still register. And finally, another holiday club notice. I had put on the rota that we're going to be setting up the church next Sunday evening for the holiday club on Monday, forgetting we do worship on a Sunday evening as well. So that's wrong. We will not be setting up on Sunday evening when the worship service is happening. But we're going to set up instead on Saturday, the 4th of August, around 3 o'clock, just to get the hall ready for the holiday club on the Monday. So if you can come along to help with that, that's superb. And we'll come and we'll close our service together singing one of my favourite hymns, "Come People of the Risen King Who Delight to Bring Him Praise." To God, who is always forgiving, always loving, always listening and open to prayer, always offering a new beginning, be honour and glory, praise and thanksgiving this day. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Thank you.